absolutely just, gosh. Did I ask you guys to go on the road with me? You guys don't seem impressed. I'll pay you in pizza, hamburgers, and fries.
I don't know how many kids come with us.
We might need to renegotiate now. We've done our deal with kids and now with grandkids. I mean, the deal's off. I'm sorry. Can we give the worship team, just come on, man. Dude, there's such a vast difference between music and worship. What you did in your team, that's worship. Thank you, my friend. Amen. Thank you so much. Wow. Well, good evening. If you have your Bibles, you'll want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. And we're going to get started with that. Let's do a bit of a review. And so take a look at the first slide. This has been our working definition of transformation from get-go. A neighborhood, a community, or a region whose values and institutions have been undeniably impacted and then redeemed. Love that. Just not touched, but transformed by the truth and the power of the gospel. There's only one thing that has the ability to bring transformation. It's the gospel. It's the only thing that has the ability to truly bring transformation. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why Paul wasn't ashamed of it. But it's through Spirit-led believers saturating the culture with the presence of Christ. That's you. Everywhere you go, you're just releasing the presence. Everywhere you go, you're a super spreader. You just carry the presence of Jesus. Man, you walk into a room and the atmosphere shifts, not because you're there, but because he's there and you're carrying him. See, you're brokering the realm of the kingdom, and that's transformational. Yes. Isn't that awesome? It's just incredible, man. That's who you are. You're dangerous people. Next slide. The next slide is, well, what is a transformational lifestyle? And we narrowed that down this morning when we said, well, the characteristics that summarize Jesus' lifestyle are love and power. You read the Gospels, and there's a lot of things about Jesus that you could characterize him, but if you were to boil it down, two essential ingredients of Jesus, love and power. That would define his lifestyle. That would define what we read in the Gospels. And so, watch, Jesus was motivated by love, and he was sourced by the Spirit. And that's what we talked about this morning. A life that is motivated by love and sourced by the Spirit. How many were here this morning? Most of it, yeah, you guys, so you got it. So that's what we talked about this morning, a life motivated by love. Everywhere you go, you're motivated by love and you're sourced by the Spirit. That characterized Jesus. Well, then we looked at a scripture that actually speaks that, and that would be the next slide. And it's from 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Pursue love, motivated by love, yet earnestly desire spiritual. And remember, gifts is not in the text. Most of your Bibles, if gifts is in the scriptures, it's italicized, which means that it was added for readability, but it's not really in the text. And so you would actually read this, the spiritual. So we're actually desiring the spiritual. And you'll remember that we looked at that last night. That's the term pneumaticus, a compound word that means the activities of the Spirit. And there's several different definitions, but it means to be influenced by the Spirit. But we said probably a very good definition of pneumaticus would be to be sourced by the Spirit. And so when Paul says pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual, he's talking about desire earnestly a lifestyle that is being sourced by the Holy Spirit. You also remember from this morning that pursue love, we said, is a present imperative. Meaning, pursue is a present tense verb, pursuing. So you don't just pursue it once. It's a lifestyle of pursuing. And it's also an imperative, meaning it's stated in the scriptures as a command. It's not a suggestion. It is a command. So Paul's actually commanding the church to continuously chase after love. We talked about that this morning, and that describes all of us, right? We're continually chasing after love. We're more loved tonight than we were this morning. Oh, but wait till tomorrow morning, right? Because we're chasing after, pursuing, motivated by love. It never stops. See, that's the command of the scripture. And then desire earnestly. Wouldn't you know that that's one single word, to be zealous. And that word is also present tense, meaning that we're consistently, constantly desiring something. And it's also an imperative, which means it's a command. And so you have two present imperatives in the Greek. I don't mean to be like a geek, but you understand what I'm saying. This is strong in the grammar, strong. So we don't just say, I'll think it over. No, no, no. You can't do that with this. Lifestyle, and it's a command. Chase after love, never stop. Desire earnestly, spiritual, being sourced by the Spirit, never stop. So motivated by love and sourced by the Spirit, right out of the scriptures. I love that. Then look what he says. But especially, and the little word there especially means like if you're looking at a group of apples, you go, this is the one I want. You select one on purpose. So out of all the 9 manifestations that we looked at this morning, and they're all incredible, especially if the Spirit's going to source you in terms of the manifestation, Paul says, let it be just one. Prophecy. So be motivated by love, sourced by the Spirit. Hello, God. The greatest manifestation of the Spirit being prophecy. In this context, you understand. Let me just frame it in that regard. In the context of chapters 12, 13, and 14, in regard to the 9 manifestations, when the Spirit sources you in regard to these 9 manifestations, the one that we really desire to be sourced by would be prophecy. And prophesy is to speak a divine utterance, to speak a specific message for someone, look, only known by divine revelation. You could not have heard that message except for the fact God spoke it to you. And my sheep hear my voice. We sang about it, we prayed about it tonight. How many of you have ever been tempted by the devil? Put your hands up. Okay. If you've been tempted by the devil, that means you've heard the devil speaking. If you've heard the devil speaking, you can hear the Lord speaking. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Come on, man. I just can't hear God speak. So you're saying you put more weight in the devil's voice than God's voice. See, I believe that we can get so fine-tuned to his voice that when the enemy speaks, it's like my brother up here hitting like a foul note. Not that he ever would. I'm not like bad illustration. But it's like, that's a stranger's voice. Read John 10. We become so familiar with his voice that when a stranger speaks, we run. Well, see, that's prophecy, because now he's speaking to you, but he's not just speaking to you, he wants to speak through you. I was telling them, Brad? Yeah, I think it was you. Bless you, dude. I'm not going to pick on him tonight, man. Well, the dude is, he's just so good looking, man. I'm just, man, when I grow up, I tell you. But I was telling him today, I was with a couple of dudes, because I used them as an illustration today, him and Elijah and Joe. But 3 of us were in Steak and Shake. You guys know what that is, Steak and Shake? Okay, we were in Steak and Shake. And just sitting there, you know, a little milkshake and whatever, and the football team came in, and this one dude, you know, had his helmet under his arm, you know, and makeup all over his face, the dark things, and he's a big dude. Sat down, and we're sitting there, and the guy beside me says, "I believe the Lord spoke to me." Just kind of the same analogy that I used this morning. He said, "I think the Lord's speaking to me." He says, "I don't think that boy has a daddy. I think he left." And he got out of the seat, went over and sat down, started speaking to him. 15 minutes or so, the dude started to cry. There's other guys around. And my buddy has just ministered to him, got his hand up on his shoulders, just, and he spoke prophetically into him and told him that God is the father of the fatherless. This kid is just a mess, man. Makeup, you know, or from the eye shadow is just like running down. He's crying and everything. So it's just phenomenal. He comes back over. We finish our fries. And then we go to pay. And another dude from that group comes up and he says, "Hey, like, could you do that with me?" And the other guy with me said, put his hands on his shoulders and said, "In 2 weeks when you go to court, you're going to be just fine. God's watching out for you." And the guy goes, "What? No way, dude, that's crazy. Did you hear that?" He went over and he said, and told them what they'd said. It was just like phenomenal. He's like blowing away. He's like, "Oh my gosh, what, dude, what?" So we pay for it and we go out to the car. And then when we're out by the car, another dude from the football team comes out and says, "Hey, would you do that thing to me?" Now, what were they wanting? They didn't know how to define it. But see, prophecy is not some weird kind of prediction, you know, some psychic crystal weirdness. Are you kidding me? It's a word from God spoken through a vessel into the heart of another human being. And that's God's word, not your word. You're the donkey that's delivering the anointing. That is in the old covenant, right? Remember the donkey? Like, and so we're just the instrument, man. We're just carrying the freight. That's all. We don't applaud you. You're just the instrument that delivers the message. But this is a message out of heaven, and it pierces the heart of a man or a woman because it's God's word being spoken into them. That's a prophetic word. I want that, don't you? That's, man, I want to go after that. Like Peter said in Acts 2:17, when the Spirit is poured out in the last days, all of us will prophesy. Your sons and daughters. I thought you'd be running around and shouting, but that's okay. Are you thinking? Are you whirling? Like, man, it is better than football. It really is. So especially go after that. Now, why would Paul really put so much emphasis on especially, malon, this word that means like out of everything, out of all the manifestations? Why that one? Well, let's take a look. Go to the next slide. We'll look at three major benefits, and this like will summarize what he's emphasizing in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. So this is all out of 1 Corinthians 14. The first benefit is that it prepares the church. See, a prophetic word, again, is not your word, it's his word. You're the instrument that carries it. Like, what's the difference between a prophetic word and a prophetic word? The source. Did my mic shut off? And are we all getting? See, if he's sourcing it, it becomes prophetic. If I source it, it's, well, wow. Woo. So a prophetic word has the capacity to prepare the church. Now, again, all from chapter 14. 14:8 says, "For if the bugle produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle?" Now, in the context, he's talking about the fact that if someone prays in tongues corporately and there's no interpretation, it's an indistinct sound. People are going to scratch their head and say, I can't say amen to that. That's the context of that. And that's why he tries to give some instructions about, well, there needs to be some type of interpretation. But his emphasis of chapter 14, he's not arguing between prophecy and tongues. He's not arguing value, but application. The application of the prayer language is private, and the application of prophecy is corporate. That's his emphasis of chapter 14. And so he's talking about an indistinct sound. The word indistinct is a compound word that means uncertain, confusing, hidden, not clearly defined. It's like negated with the A. So it's actually something that is, you can't see it. It's confusing. I don't understand this. That's the word indistinct. But I want you to think about the power of a prophetic word. It's like he's underscoring the fact that a prophetic word has distinction to it. A prophetic word has clarity because it's a sound word from heaven through an understanding of language that all can grasp. And it's a now word, it's a kingdom word, and it's a word for the church that enables the church to prepare herself for battle. And gang, listen to me. In these last days, the church is only going to be equipped when we are equipped by a now word out of heaven spoken clearly to the church of Jesus Christ. We're only going to be equipped for these last days by hearing from heaven and not from culture. Remember the whole story of Ezekiel 22 with the watchman on the wall. They had two major assignments: hear and speak. Hear and speak. That was it, man. They were watchmen on the wall. And Ezekiel, he said, look, man, here's the deal. You see the approaching enemy, you give warning. You give warning before it's too late. Now, if you do and they don't listen, blood's on their hands. But if you see them coming and you don't do anything, blood's on your hands. And then he says this in verse 8. He says, here's what I'm telling you. Hear the word of the Lord. I speak, you speak. You hear me speaking, that's what you say to the people. And when you move into the new covenant, you understand that the prophetic ministry is not to puff you up. The prophetic ministry has the capacity to prepare the church for the end time challenges that we're going to be walking into, because it's a now word and we need to hear what heaven is saying in this hour. Come on, somebody. Which means you and I need to be pressed up against the bosom of Christ. We need to be living as intimate lovers, pressed up against him, man, like Jesus was with the Father, or like John was with Jesus. What's he saying? Messages need to be prophetic. Small groups need to be prophetic. This is the hour. Come on, gang. Watch this. Go to the next slide. This is so key. So check this out. Voices without the Spirit have shaped our thinking. Come on, you know this to be true. I'm not telling you something you don't know. But voices without the Spirit have shaped the thinking of the church about identity. Right? Come on. What's identity anymore? Absolutely. And I think God has something to say about who our identity is. He created us. But come on, man. We're going to be labeled in culture. You're going to have a label slapped on you by parents that aren't deep wells and schools and culture. They're going to put labels on you. It's like in Genesis 3 when Adam said, we're naked. And God says, who told you you were naked? Who defined you that way? It wasn't him. It was the enemy. And listen, when we don't hear prophetic decrees out of heaven, then we're subject to any identity someone wants to slap on us, especially the enemy. And so now that's why there's identity confusion. Well, this and that. Well, hey, and this way I feel. This is just what my mind says. And this is how I am today. Listen, I don't mean to be mean, but I'm telling you, that is the culture of the world that's stimulated by the power of darkness. It's prevalent. And churches are buying into this nonsense. Why? Because they're not hearing from heaven. So the culture's speaking louder than him. Come on, somebody. Sexuality? This is huge. Dude, we've been doing youth stuff. For the last couple of years, we've been speaking into young people. This stuff is huge with these kids. Sexuality, all that stuff, man. It's like something so beautiful. Defined by God. Designed by God. You know what perversity, it's the wrong version of God's version. Marriage, abortion, gender, doctrine. Well, you just could go on. My point is that the culture is speaking because the church is not. And so the church is being shaped by the culture. And that's a symptom of a vacuum of a prophetic word, which if I even press this more, is a symptom of a lack of intimacy with him. Because a prophetic word only comes when you and I stop marching around the kitchen like Martha and get at the feet like Mary. And start listening to what he has to say. Come on, somebody. And don't come up to me afterwards and say, well, you know, where would the church be if we didn't have any Marthas? Because I would ask you, so you're telling me that being Mary at the feet of Jesus, listening to every word coming out of the Savior's mouth, makes you unproductive. What did Martha ever do that we'd remember for a lifetime? What did Mary do? Oh, are you serious? John chapter 12 broke a flask on Jesus' feet, man. And Jesus said, wherever the gospel's preached, what she did will be preached alongside of that. That's pretty significant. Where'd she learn that, Rev? Probably at the feet of Jesus. Luke 10, verse 39. She was in a position to hear everything that he was saying. So her act of anointing was prophetic. Do you understand? Out of your posture of intimacy at the feet of Jesus, your lifestyle becomes prophetic. And we need prophetic demonstrations and messages in this hour. It only comes out of a lifestyle of intimacy with Jesus. I hate to say this because it gets misunderstood, but man, we need to be laid down lovers with him. Yeah, I know that's good, but I have people come up to me. I'm not comfortable with that. Well, but that's the language of the New Testament. I read Song of Solomon. Maybe you better not. but it prepares, it equips the church. For these last times, Doug, it equips the church. The church is prepared for battle. It's equipped for battle through prophetic declaration. Okay, number two. Next slide. It strengthens the body. It strengthens the body. And this comes out of several verses in chapter 14. I don't have the verses actually listed. I think like verse, I don't know. It's all in there. It's in chapter 14. But there's three. I started to say, four. I started to say four and put up three fingers. And then I just thought, four. One, two, okay, that's it. Look at the R in the L in my tennis shoe. Good, I'm all right. All right. Four. There's four major benefits that strengthen the body. Just real quick, edification. When you speak prophetically, it edifies the body. And edification means to make impervious, like strong and protected. The Greek word is actually two words put together that means to build up a house and put a roof over it. Like to protect it. So the roof protects the house, keeps elements from. And so a house that is strong and protected, imagine the living environment inside. See, they're protected. Prophetic decrees, prophetic words that you speak into each other strengthens the church and protects it from demonic lies. So you're a strong church through prophetic declaration. Exhortation, to instruct or coach, divine guidance. Exhortation is the closest word to the Holy Spirit. When you speak prophetically to someone, you're like the Holy Spirit in their life. You come alongside them and coach them and help give them divine direction. Consolation is a word that means to unravel mysteries, to bring clarity. And then finally, revelation. Prophetic decrees, prophetic words actually is revelation. And revelation is learning in the spirit, spiritual training. Do you guys understand there's a vast difference between revelation and information? Like John 6:63, Jesus says, the words that I speak are spirit. Jesus does not speak on an intellectual level. He speaks on a spiritual level, and the spirit informs the mind. That's revelation. How many of you know you can be intelligent but not have any revelation? It's like you can know things up here but be dumb as a stone when it comes to kingdom revelation. I'm not speaking to anyone in this church. I'm telling you what can be. And so revelation starts here and informs the mind. I'm not advocating stupidity. I'm just saying that the mind needs to be educated and taught by the Spirit through revelation. So like, have you ever read John chapter 6? It's a funny chapter. It's Jesus does a three-part series on cannibalism. Starts off message one, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now, if I'd been one of the disciples, I would have like, man, he hit a foul ball on that one, right? And the crowd begins to kind of murmur. Wouldn't you? Message number two, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Oh my goodness, the master, what is he doing? Right? If I would have been the disciples, I would have said, like, no one's buying the CDs. You got to knock it off. And the crowds went from murmuring to complaining. Jesus, message number three, are you ready? Unless you eat my flesh or drink my blood, you have no life in you. And the crowds, they leave. The conference is over because everyone just leaves, right? Jesus turns to the 12. They're all offended. The crowd's offended. They leave. He turns to his 12. He says, you guys want to leave too? Like, is this offensive? Peter. Don't you love Peter? Yeah. Like when he starts to open his mouth, you start to cringe. What's he going to say? You know what I'm saying? You got people like that, you know? I shouldn't say that, but you know what I'm saying? They start to open your mouth. They're like, oh God. And this is Peter. What's he going to say? Because he opens his mouth to change feet. But this time, Pete looks right at Jesus and he says this, where will we go? Now watch this. Only you have the words of life. And he uses the word rhema, which is a living word. It's a word that pierces the heart. It's different from logos. Logos, typically, we understand as the scripture, the written word. And rhema is the living word that speaks to us when we read the written word. So here's what Peter says. He says, only you have rhema. Like, when you speak, I come alive in my heart. I don't know what the heck you're saying, but when you say it, I'm alive in here. That's revelation. And sometimes God will speak, oh, you come alive in here, but you're like, what? Right? Because your mind cannot grasp where your heart's taken you initially. This is why people will say, well, I've got to understand God before I obey him. Won't work. Because God did a lot of things in the Old Testament that didn't make sense, right? We're going to defeat the Midianites. More Midianites than sand on the beach. Well, let's build up our armies, man. No, let's shrink them down to 300. Let's knock down the walls of Jericho. Great, let's go in at night. Stealth, man, come on. Nah, let's just walk around in daylight and scream. Does that make sense to you? I'm avoiding that squirrel. I really am. That squirrel ran by, and it was so attractive. But it's just something squeaky. For you guys who are watching online, it squeaks. We love you. So my point is that revelation is here, and watch, prophetic words have the capacity to teach us in the Spirit. And we need that. Number three, third benefit, next slide, it reaches the lost. Oh, this is so awesome. It reaches the lost. So 1 Corinthians 14, 24 and 25, but if all prophesy, oh, stop right there, but if all prophesy, oh, man, dream with me for a moment. If all of you prophesy, if all of, what does that mean? That means all of you are so intimate with Jesus, you hear every word he speaks. That means that you live lives undistracted. You live lives poised in the presence every moment of every single day. You're not rush-shod trying to finish life. No, no, you're at the feet of Jesus and he's enabling you to complete life. You're Mary at the feet listening to everything. And when you come to church, you come to church filled with the presence of God in a posture of intimacy, ready to flow in life-giving words that he speaks through you. A prophetic culture, a prophetic church would be a church of intimacy. A Methodist by the name of Terry Tackle wrote a book called The Presence-Based Church. Phenomenal book. I haven't met him. When I do, he lives in Dallas, Texas. Whenever I meet him, I'm going to shake his hand, and I know what I'm going to say. Love you, dude, but listen, God accidentally gave you my revelation. I should have written that book. Phenomenal, because he says there's two types of churches. Martha churches, Mary churches. What's the difference? One simple thing. Mary churches have developed a culture of listening. They linger in the presence. They're not like, we got this, 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 and you say amen, we're out. Because maybe Jesus might want to interrupt that whole flow and do something. Might be the opening song that my brother sings, and then pastor comes up and says, I don't know if we need to sing anymore. I think there's someone here that needs to give their life to Jesus. But that's out of order. No, that's in order, because that's his direction. You need to be out of order so he can be in order. You need to be out of control so he can control. And it gets nervous because what's he going to do? I think we can trust him. And if you're never sure how the order of a service is going, you come under the authority of your pastor. Amen. Just because you think you hear God, that's wonderful, you can flow, but in the final analysis, he's your cover, and you need to operate under authority. So if you're unsure, ask. Are you guys with me? Yep. I'm big on that. I pastored for 30 years. Guys would come to my church. I'm a prophet. I'm here to speak in the name of God. Who's your cover? God. Sorry, dude. Love you, appreciate you. You can sit on the seat and watch, but you're not speaking. You don't have a cover. It's a kingdom. And a kingdom has rulership and authority. It's not a democracy. You don't get to vote in a kingdom. I see this is really going well. No, I can sense this is hitting. Come on, church. I'm simply telling you that in a kingdom, God has designed covers for your safety. And if you're not sure about the prophetic or any of these manifestations, if you're unsure about how, just like, man, I need some direction on this, you come to your cover and say, Pastor, I believe the Lord's speaking to me in this area. And you test it with your cover. He's undercover. And cover is very significant in the kingdom. There's no lone rangers. And all you need to do is read the epistles and see what Paul speaks about in regards to this, because he's very big on the eldership and the covering of every church that he started. I didn't mean to, but man, I kind of felt the leading on that. Are you guys with me on this? It will help save some messiness. And here's another thing, too, since we're on a roll. If you cannot take instruction, it's an indicator you're not being sourced by the Spirit. When you're sourced by the Spirit, you're teachable. When you're sourced by the flesh and you receive instruction or correction, you get mad. I could always tell if someone was sourced by the Spirit or by the flesh, because when you'd bring correction to them, they'd get mad. God told them, I'm out of here. I love you. And love is not toleration, it's transformation. And because I love you, I'm going to correct you. If I didn't love you, I'd just let you do what you want. Any parent would tell you that's the truth. If you have children, right? You just let them run pell-mell over the house? He says, I do, but my wife doesn't. I'm just teasing. Oh, my gosh, you guys are awesome. Are you guys with me? Yeah. Come on, we can linger tonight, man. We're done tonight at 11:30. So we're good. Anyway. But this business of all prophesying, Terry Takel says it's very possible when you have a presence-based church and you've developed a culture of learning how to linger and listen. And so you'll get prophetic words. But my point is don't ever speak a prophetic word over the house unless you get his permission. But like in a setting where you guys are just worshiping and stuff, and if he's okay with this, if you believe you have a prophetic word for someone beside you, you know, share that. But again, always make sure you're operating undercover. But a prophetic house is a church that's created out of intimacy. With Jesus, you're at the feet of Jesus. Now let me read on. Now watch this. If all prophesy and an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, by the way, you may not find this funny. The word ungifted is the Greek word idiotes. So it's an idiot that comes to church. I'm sorry. It just strikes me as funny. But all right. Anyway, but an unbeliever, they don't know anything. They don't know anything. An ungifted person would be someone who knows nothing. You pass the offering plate and they make change. They don't know. They have no idea, right? And so they're an unbeliever and they're completely unschooled. That would be the best word for ungifted. They're unschooled. They come in to an environment where all of you are a bunch of intimate lovers of Jesus listening to every word that he speaks, like Mary at the feet. So that person comes into this environment and you guys are speaking prophetically the words out of the heavens. Look what it says. He is convicted by all called to an account by all, the secrets of his heart are disclosed. And he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. The most evangelistic culture is a prophetic culture that arises out of a place of intimacy where we hear the life-giving words and speak them into one another. Isn't that incredible? And the secrets of their heart, let me tease that out for a moment. Psalm 139 says that every person has a book about their life that's written. Like you have a book with all the days of your life written in it. A prophetic word is not you telling someone what they're going to do with their life. A prophetic word is God giving you insight on a chapter or maybe a line from their book, and you highlighting that and speaking it to them. So it's not you telling them what to do. It's God telling them what to do through you or giving them a word maybe from that chapter, from that book, and it rings so true with them because it's in the DNA of who God made them to be. They're like, oh, whoa, how'd you know? Just like at Steak and Shake. And I'm just telling you, people will be moved. Just like the woman at the well in John 4 went back, and John 4 verse 39 says, come hear the man who told me everything about my life. And people believed on account of her testimony. Do you realize you could prophesy to one person at a filling station or a restaurant and they could be the hinge pin for 100 people coming to church? You're one prophetic word away from a mass outpouring of God's Spirit. Motivated by love, sourced by the Spirit, especially speaking prophetically. Isn't that awesome? So, let me tell you this. I believe, is that it? Is that it? That's all the slides, right? Okay. We were, you know, when we were doing all this stuff, learning about all this stuff, you know, 8, maybe 10 years ago or longer, We had interns come to our church, and there was a young intern that was hearing this stuff and just, like, taking it to heart. So he goes to a coffee shop and gets coffee. He noticed the girl behind the counter's leaning in, like, with her left ear like this a little bit. So he goes back out in the car, and he leaves, and Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, tomorrow when you go in, I want you to pray for her right ear because it's deaf. I want to heal it. But then the Lord spoke to him and said, but more than that, I want you to pray for the trauma of her heart. Right? So he goes back in the next day and he says to her, he says, hey, could I pray for you? She goes, yeah. He goes, I mean like now. She goes, okay. He goes, I don't want to be weird, but could I just take your hands? She goes, yeah. So she reaches across the counter, takes her hands, he says, in the name of Jesus, I command her right ear to open up. But then he says, Father, I also pray for her heart to be healed from the trauma that occurred 4 years ago when she was date raped. Because 4 years from that time, she was tied up in the shower and her boyfriend punched through a glass shower door and the fragments of the glass went into her ear and punctured her eardrum and she couldn't hear. And in walks a guy motivated by love, sourced by the Spirit, and the power and the presence of God speaks through him into her heart. And I mean just, she's... And he gets his coffee and he leaves. She says to her friend, hey, watch the counter for a moment. And she goes out in the car. She's sitting there, and she told me this. She had her phone up to her right ear, and she said to her new boyfriend, stop yelling at me. And then she realized her right ear was healed. She took her cigarette and threw it out the window, came to our church, rededicated her life to Jesus, and then went into the mission field for about 2 years in Africa. How'd that happen? Someone just like you. Someone just like you guys. Motivated by love, ensourced by the Spirit, heard and released. Amen? Come here. And you put your stuff down. I want you to stand right here and look at the cross, okay? Actually, make a straight line just like that right there. Beautiful, beautiful. I love that. Yeah, come here, Brad. Yeah, just stand right here. You're next. Just stand right here. Look at the cross. No cheating now. You just keep looking at the cross. Oh, man. Come here. Yeah. Yeah, just keep looking at the cross. Good deal. Maybe one more. Yeah, you. Yeah, perfect. Come up here. Yeah. All right. Just keep looking at the cross. Just look at the cross. Now, don't cheat. Now, keep looking at the cross. Keep looking at the cross. Let's see. Right here. Yeah. Keep looking at the cross. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Good deal. All right. So, just stand right here. Now, each of you, whoop, careful that step. That'll be replayed on Facebook. Have my permission. Okay, you keep looking this way. Now, here's the deal. Each of you have someone behind you. And it's your same gender. You, woman, man, woman, woman. So I'll tell you that much. And I'd like each of you just reach up and just touch their shoulder one time. Just touch their shoulder. There you go. Take your hand away. So I believe that Holy Spirit wants to speak to you and through you for that person behind you. I believe that he loves you enough to give you a word for the person behind you, and he loves that person behind you to hear from heaven. Now, what if you don't hear anything? No big deal. This isn't like you're in trouble. We're just having fun with Holy Spirit. We're just testing. We're learning to hear. See, we're just testing. My friend Hal Perkins talks about testing the Spirit, just testing it. So we might hear something and be completely off. And maybe a way to make it more maybe simple is, what might Jesus want to say to the person behind you? And so you might believe that the Lord's given you a scripture, a word, or maybe you see a picture. Maybe you see something like, I put my hand on somebody's shoulder one time in a church, and I heard the word roadrunner. Well, that sounds funny. But when I said it to them, they started crying. Because the Lord had told them that week they needed to slow down and stop being like the roadrunner. So what seemed silly to me was meaningful to them because I'm just the instrument that carried the message, not interpreted it. So you don't have to interpret the message. So you might be thinking, well, this is silly. It didn't mean anything. No, it may mean something to the person behind you. But if you turn around and say it to them and it doesn't mean anything, no big deal. Again, so you can't lose. Are you guys okay? So I'm going to just pray and we'll just... we'll just test this. And is this mic working, brother? Is this okay? So I'm just gonna take this. Good deal. It's all ready. Good. You're on one battery, but that's okay, isn't it? So here, I'll let you fix it up. Okay, so let me pray. Father, oh, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit. Amen. Come on. We all sang tonight about the beauty of you just breaking down walls and uprooting stuff that keeps us from a posture of intimacy. And so, Lord, I believe that you love to speak to us and through us. And you tell us in your word to be motivated by love and sourced by the Spirit. And then you tell us to especially desire the prophetic. And the power and the benefit of that is just remarkable. So would you just speak to and through these precious people for the ones behind them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So one of you think you, man, I believe I hear something. Just let me know. Good? All right, here, look at me. Say, here's your mic, go.
I think I hear strength and confidence.
You hear strength and confidence?
Yes.
Okay, very
that's
good. Yeah, that's
all
right. Turn around. Does that make sense to you? Strength and confidence. Would that be a word that you believe, wow, that's kind of hitting the bullseye for where I am in my life?
Yes.
Yeah. Praise God. And then normally what I do is just have them pray into that word and just in 30 seconds or less, just pray real quick. Strength and confidence. Go for it. Amen. That's beautiful. Just hang out, man. Just hang out right there. Anyone else take a stab at this? You ready to roll? All right, here we go.
Just healing of an injury.
Healing of an injury. And like, did you hear a specific area?
No.
You just believe there's an injury that needs to be healed?
Yeah.
All right, turn around. Would that come into the ballpark? No kidding. Oh, my gosh. Care to share or not?
To Lincoln 3 years ago to come pastor a church. And 3 months in to my pastorate, I found myself in the hospital. Sorry.
You're okay.
With a 7-centimeter brain tumor. And it was all removed as a miracle. The doctor's words were that that never happens. It just peeled right off. But there's still things that are healing, not just there, but in my heart. And all that transpired within the life of the church and everything through that.
So. Yeah. Wow, dude. You want to pray for your brother? Go for it. Bless you, Brian. Wow. That's just beautiful. Anything yet?
Can I be transparent?
Yeah, yeah.
It's scary and nervous.
Yeah.
Because what if what I'm thinking and turn around and it's like, I have no idea. That's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. So what if you hear something, you believe you hear something, but it's way off? The good news is, in this environment, this is where we learn. Paul talks about prophecy needs to be tested amongst those who are prophetic. And so this is training ground. So I was on an airplane one time and I sat down and I thought I heard the woman beside me had an ear infection. And so I asked her and she didn't. I said, "Do you have something wrong with your ear, like an ear infection?" She goes, "Nope." So now watch. That was early on, and I felt so stupid. I said, "I ain't doing that again." And the Lord corrected me. I said, "How are you going to learn?" So a lot of times I get it right, because people say, "Well, what if you're wrong?" I turn it around, "What if you're right?" So I was in an Uber. Picked me up. I had a 20-minute drive. And as soon as I get in the Uber, I said, "Hey, dude, do you got pain in your right hip?" And he goes, "No, I don't." "Why do you ask?" So this time, I learned. I said, "Well, I'll tell you why. Because I'm a believer, and I believe that Jesus speaks to me sometimes on behalf of other people so that he can minister to them." "Wow, that's pretty cool." We started talking. By the end of the drive, he bought my book off Amazon on life and death, the power of words. And he says, "I want to stay in contact with you because you are different, dude." And so, see, it opened up a relationship. But I was wrong. So the first time I was wrong, it embarrassed me and I pushed back from it. The second time I said, okay. Or from that, I said, "I'm not going to do that again. Even if I get it wrong, I still want to hear him. I want to be like him with the woman at the well." He heard from the Father, and I think we can hear from the Father. And so push past the fear in this environment, because this is a great training ground, because no one's going to make fun of us, right? Come on. It's a training ground. And we need to practice like this. We should do this with our staff. We would line people up and do exactly like this, because we didn't know who was behind us. It's like, because if you know them, then, oh, yeah, you know a little bit about their life, and so you're going to. But see, this way it makes it, man, you got to be listening. So you got to take a shot, and you could be wrong. So, all right.
The only thing that comes to mind is the word glove. And I don't know why.
Love?
Glove.
Glove.
Like a glove.
So anything with that, just you see the word glove.
Maybe something medical, but I don't know.
You don't know. Okay. All right. Turn around. Does any of that hit the... Okay, that is medical. All right, so we just pray. Go ahead. Beautiful. One more. Hearing anything? Not sure. Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Do you want to take a stab at it, or would you not?
Yeah.
You want to take a stab at it? Okay.
I don't hear anything, but I feel like strength, worry, but love at the same time.
You feel strength.
Yeah.
But you also feel a sense of
worry.
Yeah.
But also love.
But also love. Okay. Yeah. So some people are feelers. That's all right. All right, good. Turn around. Strength, but sometimes worry, but also love. Does any of that resonate?
Well, yeah, it resonates with me just because of everything we've gone through with our kids. So just strength and love and lots of worry.
Yeah.
After what you told us today, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
That is. Would you mind praying for your sister? Yeah. I love that. Wow. So, we just casually demonstrated what it is to hear from the Lord. And I've done this in different places, different settings. Sometimes I have people pair up, but I figured since you all knew each other, it would be a little difficult. This puts a little bit more of a strain on it because you don't know exactly who's behind you unless you cheat. But... that was beautiful. Can we just give these guys a hand? So you can go back to your seats. And so I love that all of them took a stab at it. They took a stab. It's like, and I'm going to tell you something. When you're at Walmart and you believe the Lord's given you a word, you have what's called the five-second rule. You know what the five-second rule is? It's not when you drop a French fry on the ground, pick it up. That was the five-second rule in college. And I'd always eat French fries. Five-second rule. My wife, she's a nurse. She said, yeah, touches the ground, you got 30 million bacteria on it. Sorry, that didn't work. So I quit doing that. No, here's the five-second rule. You're in Walmart, and you see someone, and you believe God's given you a word for them. He wants you to minister to them, pray for them, or buy their groceries, or whatever. You're at a restaurant, whatever. You have 5 seconds to obey where your heart's leading you before your head talks you out of it. And we just proved it tonight because all four of these individuals were a little like, wow, what? And I'm not, now watch, I'm not shaming that. Do you know I do that too? I was in a store one time and the Lord wanted me to pray with someone. They had like this cancer like on their face and I looked at it and I got scared thinking like, God, you can heal a migraine, but you can't heal that. I mean, it's like, because that was like, and I felt like the Lord says, no, I want you to pray for her. And I didn't do it. I walked out into the car and the enemy jumped all over me and says, you teach this stuff. But I felt the Father pull me into his side and say, we'll do better next time, son. Because there's no condemnation in them who are in Christ. He didn't shame me. He didn't scold me. He loved on me and says, we'll do better. And we are. We are. It's incredible, man. I walked up to two dudes at a library one time. They were standing outside the library smoking a cigarette. And the Lord says, I want you to go minister to them. What do you want me to say? I'll tell you when you get there. Oh, my goodness. And my heart started pounding. So I walk over like this, and they're looking at me like, you know, I walk over. And I go, I'm here to minister to you guys in the name of Jesus. And they threw their cigarettes out. And as soon as I looked at him and said that, the Lord dropped in words for both of them. Then I took out my wallet, gave them each 20 and said, this is from Jesus. Go have lunch on him. So see what I'm saying? It's just like, man, but I was scared. Anytime, God, don't do that. It's like, oh. But why wouldn't he want to speak to us and through us? Why wouldn't he want to heal Brian? Really? Why wouldn't he want to give three incredible words? Why wouldn't he want to take the word glove but somehow touch a woman's back? Come on, man. Right? Amen. Well, does this make sense, my friend? I want to be prophetic. I don't want to be pathetic. All right. Hands out. Let's pray. Father, oh, Lord, we yield to you tonight. This simple demonstration is how you want to minister through us, God, everywhere we go. But it requires us taking the time to listen. What we did tonight was actually listen. Are we always going to get it correct? No, probably not. With your heads bowed, I want you to just listen. The Apostle Paul got it wrong. Paul perceived that there was going to be a shipwreck and a loss of life on the way to Rome. And God showed up and corrected Paul and says, there'll be a shipwreck, but there won't be a loss of life. He perceived wrong. You might perceive wrong. It's okay. We're learning to listen. We're growing in familiarity with his voice. So, Father, we remain surrendered. We want to be Mary at the feet, not Martha spinning circles in the kitchen. And we want to be people who are motivated by love and sourced by your Spirit. And you're free to manifest through us any way you choose. But as the scriptures say, we especially want to speak prophetically. Amen? Amen. And so launch us out of here. Like this week, may we never forget being motivated by love, source of the Spirit, and being in a position to hear life-giving words that we can speak into other people, no matter where we are. We thank you that you choose to use us and speak to us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Can we give Jesus a hand? He's so awesome. Man, well, hey, man, love on people tonight. Man, I can't believe you guys showed up on football night. There's like about, what, 250 people here this evening? Just teasing, you should have been here. Anyway, love on each other. We'll see you tomorrow, man.